You. I want to ask that you open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 6. If you'll stand with me, we'll be reading verses 8 through verse 15. Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray even this morning that you would bless the reading of your word. We pray that you would take the word of God and touch us in each way, the way that the Holy Spirit would do so. We pray that you would bless those that are not with us this morning because of illness. We know that there's some that are celebrating birthdays, like Brother Larry Smith, that he's in a nursing home, and he cannot even understand what's going on, but he's one of us, and we feel it. Those that are traveling, like our pastor, we pray for those who are sick, not able to be here with us. Beth Vaught and the situation she's going through, the Vaught family. But Father, we now ask that you take the word of God and use it in every way. Those that are us here in presence, but also those that are hearing over the streaming and the recording. May it be for your honor and glory, for pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I'm going to look especially at verse 15, the last verse that we read. It talks about those that looked at Stephen, and it says, they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And I want to talk a little bit about how people look at faces. And also how our face looks to others. The Bible does talk about people having shining faces. We use that term a lot. We talk about a child, you know, that just washed his face. He's got a shining face. And when we talk about words like that, I like to get into the understanding of them. My college degree was in photography. We dealt a lot with light and the shine of things and how we would capture a face. And I won't get into all the details about that, but, you know, we look at a face as shining. We think about, well, where's that light coming from? And if I think about an angel, I would think that an angel would have a shining face also. A lot of times we think, well, is the source of the light from within? A lot of us understand that light can come from different sources. Sometimes it comes within the source of what we're looking at, like a fire or a light bulb or something like that. But there's another way for light, and that's by reflection. When we look at the moon, we talk about the moonlight, but the moon has no light of itself. It's basically reflecting the sun. When we talk about a Christian's shining face, what we're really talking about is reflecting Christ in their life. Now, we find a lot of instances in Scripture of people that had shining faces. For instance, when Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he had that meeting and the disciples that were with him saw that, it talks in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, it says, his face did shine. And even in Revelation, it talks about Christ and it says, his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So our Lord Jesus Christ had a shining face. It was very obvious to those who were around him. But it wasn't just our Lord. When Moses was 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai, and he met with the Lord, and he received the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 35, it says that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face. So throughout Scripture, we find this is not an uncommon thing. But the question I've got is, what does it take to have a shining face? Stephen had a shining face. He stood out. They recognized that he was different. Now, as we read in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 6, we find that the church at Jerusalem was going through a lot of problems. They were having some conflicts. And the apostles needed some help, so they decided to choose, well, they didn't really, the church. They told the church, choose some people to help us out, and the church chose 7 deacons. And of those 7 deacons, Stephen was one of them. Now, Stephen's ministry was very short-lived. By the end of chapter 7, he's dead. He's the first martyr. He's the first Christian to die for his faith. But in that short ministry, he did a lot. He impacted the world. We're still studying him today, 2,000 years later. A lot of people think it's the length of a ministry that's the most important. No, it's what God wants to do with you in the ministry you have. I've known a lot of men who've had long ministries. My father had a long one. I've been with this church for 42 years. I consider myself to have a long ministry already as a missionary at a Metropolitan Baptist church. But I've also known some men that had very short ministries. I've studied a lot about the 5 missionaries that in 1956 were killed by the Alca Indians. All of them young men. Short lives. But we still read of them. They left sayings, they left writings that are still impacting people today. And their deaths were so important that that is estimated over 1,000 young people surrendered to be missionaries because of their story. Their ministry was short, but it impacted the world. I can think of many other godly men in the history of the Christian church that had short lives, but in those short terms, they did a lot for God. Just like Stephen here. But what does it take to have that shine? Well, I want to cover some points this morning that I think is very important, because I think that every one of us would like to have a shining face for God. And the first step that you have to have is a faith. Not simply declaring you have faith, but you have to have a life of faith. It all begins when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. When you make that decision to receive the salvation that Christ wants to offer you, you receive it by faith. Amen. Last night we were watching a Christian film about William Tyndale. And it was during the early part of the Reformation, the early part of the 16th century, when there was a lot of debate over how you go to heaven. And the reformers began to preach that it was through faith alone. And many of them were burnt at the stake because of that. Because of that very statement. We saw it very, very drastically, how the officials of the recognized church at that time would attack them and say, how dare you say it's through faith alone? You've got to go through us, the church, to get to heaven. But no, it's faith alone. Amen. But it's not just declaring it. You have to live it. If you want to have that faith that shines, you can't do it by yourself. Right. You got to ask God. Remember the disciples asked the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That should be a prayer of every one of us. Faith doesn't just initiate this Christian journey. It also is how we live. The just shall live by faith. That means that you live without guarantees. You know, we like security. We buy insurance. We want to have a police presence. We want the government to have a strong army to protect us. We talk about all those things that give us security. But it doesn't require faith to live when you have security. You're depending on that security. Faith is when everything gets knocked out from under you. And you have to say, I have nothing to do it on my own. And then you have to say, Lord, help me. Remember when Peter was walking across the water and he thought, wow, look at this, I'm doing really good. And then all of a sudden he started looking around and realizing what was going on. And he started sinking and he said, Lord, help me. Actually, the important part of that story isn't that Peter walked on water. The important part was that Christ reached out and grabbed him and lifted him up out of the water. That's the important part of that story. Because he does the same thing to us. Because we think that we're so great, we can walk on water, so to speak, and we realize that what's going on around us, and then all of a sudden we're sinking. And what do we have to say? The same thing that Peter did. Right. Lord, save me.
Amen.
Now, we're talking about shine and the reflection. But let me tell you something. A reflection can be dulled, can it not be? Ever thought about things in your life that dull the reflection that God wants to have? Sometimes our lack of faith dulls our reflection. In my lifetime, it's happened to me many times, I'm meeting someone, we're talking, and I haven't told them who I am or what do I do or anything like that. And we're just talking about general things, and several occasions it's happened, they said, who are you? They said, there's something about you that's different. And people will say, well, that's great. Well, yes, it is, but it shouldn't be common with every Christian. Shouldn't the world look at us and say, why are you different? Because I see something that's different. It's the shine of God in our life. But what is dull? What dulls that shine? Well, you know, it's like a mirror. If you get it dirty, you're not going to be able to see yourself in the mirror. I was traveling one time in India and got on a plane to travel within a domestic flight within India. And you know, India is not a clean place. It's got its problems. And so I needed to use the restroom on that plane while we were flying. And I walked in there and the mirror was so dirty I couldn't see myself in it. And I thought to myself, well, that's... But then I started thinking, you know, it's just exactly the way it is with us. Are we so dirty that no one can see Christ? But it's not just our faith that causes us to reflect God and give us a shine. It's also the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this part of the two chapters that we're studying here, chapter 6 and chapter 7, chapter 7 is the sermon that Stephen preached, a powerful sermon. And we're going to take a few times to look at a few things that he preached about. But there was one thing that did qualify Stephen to be a great deacon. And that was he was full of the Spirit. In chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." Stephen allowed the Holy Spirit to control him. He was in the middle of a debate. At least they thought so. They brought him before the council and they wanted to argue with him about these things. They didn't realize that they'd already lost the debate before they even started. Because who were they against? They weren't against Stephen. They were against the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to be in a debate against God, I can tell you who's going to win. God's going to win every time. The Holy Spirit was using Stephen to speak to them. You ever wonder that People don't think that we have much to say anymore. Some people say, well, your church is an old-fashioned church. It really doesn't have a message for the modern-day world like we expect it to. Well, the problem is not the message that we have. The problem is the listeners. They don't want to listen to what we have. That was a problem with these men. What Stephen had was a very powerful message in chapter 7. And what did they do at the end? They killed him over it. The problem wasn't the message. The problem was the listener. The Holy Spirit wants to do some great things. And it says here that the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. Verse 10, it says that his wisdom and spirit. James chapter 5 says the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom on how to respond, on what to say. But one of the also things that we have to do sometimes is we have to give permission to the Holy Spirit to do it. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that the Holy Spirit wants to do something with you, but you won't let him do it? Because you say, well, I've got my own plans. I've got my own goals for my life. I think this is best. But really, our attitude as Christians should be, Holy Spirit, I'll give you permission to do whatever you want to. You know, there's a lot of us that are too scared to do that. You ever thought about that? If I really give him permission to do whatever he wants, he might call me to be a missionary. He might want to do something. If that's the stakes, I'm not going to give him permission. And there's a lot of Christians that's exactly what happens. They don't give him permission because they're afraid what he'll do. They think it's going to be too drastic. He's going to ask me to give all my money away. I can't do that, so I'm not going to give him permission. That's just too much. That's radical. That's being a fanatic. Well, Stephen was a fanatic. He allowed the Spirit to do whatever he wanted to with him. And it was drastic. But that's what gave him the shine of his life. Thirdly, there's another thing that allows us to have a strong shine. That's scriptural authority. Using the Bible properly. When you use the Word of God and rightly divide the Word of God, it will give a shine to your life. People will say, wow, I just never thought of things that way. But you're saying some things that are tremendously impactful in my life. Why? Because it's the Word of God that has that authority. Now, why do we say that? Well, if you look at chapter 7 and the sermon that Stephen preached, and I won't take the time to read that chapter because that chapter is 60 verses long. It's a long chapter. But within it, we find that when Stephen began preaching, what did he use? The Word of God. The Bible. Scripture. He talked about Abraham. In fact, he went from Abraham all the way to Solomon. He gave a review of the Old Testament. It's amazing what the Word of God can do. It's amazing what truth can do. I'm amazed in our nation, in our society today, how there's such a fight over truth.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't want truth to be heard. They hate truth. They will punish you for telling the truth. And not just in our country, all over the world. Right now, they're in Russia. There's a war between Russia and Ukraine. And those who are living in Russia, if they say the truth, they risk going to jail. No, you cannot tell anyone what's really going on because it's dangerous to the ruling party, the ruling authorities. They don't want the truth to get out. But when Elijah had to one time go to visit a widow and spend some time with a widow and her son. And they had that just cruse of oil and that little bit of flour. And it was multiplied miraculously. But that was a great miracle. One of us, we thought, wow, what a fantastic miracle. Here they've lived for a year. Actually, they lived 3.5 years on that miraculous oil and flour. But that really didn't impact that woman as much as something else. During that time that Elijah was with her, her son got ill and died. And Elijah resurrected her son. After that resurrection, she said this in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 24. Now, that's what she said. Now I know thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The miracle of the cruse of oil and the flour, that didn't really convince her. What convinced her was when her son was resurrected. When someone gets life, that proves that the word of God is truth. Because the word of God gives life. It changes things. It tells you the way things really are. Remember, we're talking about shining and light. What happens when you have light on the truth? You know what the truth is. What happens when there's darkness around truth? No one knows what the truth is. Light is necessary to see the truth. And if we have the Word of God, that Word of God reflects in us, and it shows everyone around us what truth really is. And it's the authority. But there was something else about Stephen's life that gave him that shine, and that is he had conviction. He had strong convictions. In other words, he knew what he believed. He was sure. He was confident in what he believed, and he knew it was the truth. Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. It says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." Boy, he was tough on them. Let me ask you, do you think God wanted Stephen to talk this way? You know, sometimes we're scared to be bold in what we're saying. He was telling these people, "You are murderers."
Right.
He's telling the truth. He said, "Your forefathers were murderers. You killed the prophets. And now you've killed the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we live in an age when people don't like that. They say that you're uncaring. You're hateful if you tell the truth when the truth hurts. In our political world, politicians are afraid to tell the truth. Because if they say the truth, everyone say, "Oh, you're hard-hearted. You're evil because you're saying such bad things." Even though it's the truth. And if there's a politician that does tell the truth, what are they trying to do? Tear them down and get rid of them. That's nothing new. They did the same thing to Stephen. Don't be surprised if they do it to us. Strong convictions are hated by the world. But let me tell you something. You better be ready to do it. You better be prepared. If you want to have strong convictions, be prepared, because it's not going to be easy. There are several things about Stephen that he did to prepare himself to have these convictions, but also to withstand the persecution from his convictions. First of all, Peter had a broken heart. A hard heart is not the way that you communicate truth. You communicate truth with a broken heart. In other words, I don't like to tell you these things that are hard to tell you, that are difficult. My heart is broken that I have to do it, but I'm going to do it because I love you. In other words, tough love. Another thing you have to have, if you're going to say these things, is you have to have a clean life. Because the devil is going to go after you and say, you're discredited in what you're saying because you have a bad life. Another thing is, expect opposition. One thing I learned from my father, he told me, if you're doing the Lord's work and there's no opposition, you're not doing the Lord's work. Because when you're doing what God wants you to do, the devil will oppose you. If you're trying to serve God and everything's going good, watch out. Look around. Something's wrong because if you're doing what God wants you to do, you're going to have opposition. Expect it. Plan for it. Don't be surprised by it. But then there's a fifth thing that we saw in the life of Stephen. The shine also gave him a far view. In other words, he could see in the distance. In verse 55 of Acts 7, we said, but he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. His view is not short-sighted, it's far. He can see not just what's right here, he can see what's in the distance.
Amen.
You ever heard the story, I can't see the forest because the tree's in the way? What does that mean? You're short-sighted. You can't see what's in the distance, in the future, or what's really going on. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, we allow Him to work. When you have the Word of God, when you're willing to stand for your convictions, and then God is going to reveal things that others don't get revealed. You're going to see truths that others don't understand, maybe. You're going to have an understanding of God's Word that others sometimes don't get because you're willing to pay that price. And that shine allows you not to see just close, but it allows you to see. It's like having one of those spotlights that can reach several miles. And you can see as far. You know, when I'm driving down the highway at night in a very remote area, dark, you always want to put your high beams on, don't you? Especially if there might be wild animals or anything on the road that you're worried about. You don't keep your short beams on. You keep your what? Your high beams. Because you want to see what? Far. As long as you can. How far was Stephen seeing? All the way into heaven. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Wow, what a privilege. He understood what was really going on. He knew what was important. He had priorities straight. He wasn't worried about the little things that were going on around him. He wasn't even concerned that they're going to kill him. Because he knew where he was going. He had a far view. He wasn't looking at just the short term. He was looking at the long term. One of the things that you'll find throughout Scripture that the Lord tries to teach us, a very important principle is, don't think about the short term, think about the long term. Proverbs talking about the ant. It says, go to the ant, thy sluggard. Why? Well, the ant's thinking long term. What does our world teach us today? Live for today. Worry about tomorrow later. Short term. Buy it now. Pay for it later. Short term. I want to enjoy it today. I don't want to pay for it tomorrow. Scripture doesn't teach us to live that way. We live long term. Our rewards are not here on the earth. They're laid up in heaven. We have a far view. Not just a long term, an eternal view.
Amen. Right.
We're thinking about the rest of eternity. Number six, the shine of a life laid on the line. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, and as they stoned Stephen, he called upon God saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know, a lot of us will say, if I have to suffer for Jesus, I'm willing to. We study the life of great men of God who've been martyrs. And you know that already in this last decade, probably has been the greatest decade in martyrdom for Christians that we've had seen in probably in all history almost. We think about, well, what about Rome and the Colosseum and all that? Yeah, that was a bad time, but there have been, our population is a lot greater today. We got over 7 billion people today. There's a lot more Christians today too. And in Muslim countries, other parts of the world, there has been a tremendous slaughter. It's not getting better. People are scared about the war over there in Eastern Europe right now and calling it maybe the start of World War III and things like that and how horrible. We've not seen anything yet. And the Bible says that your tribulation will be even worse. Stephen was just the first of millions. Millions. Last night we saw a film called God's Outlaw, the story of William Tyndale. He was burned at the stake. Stephen was stoned. Both of them very painful deaths. But in every case, as we study the lives of these men, what are they willing to do? Lay their life on the line. They're willing. Because really, in their mind, this life is nothing compared to what I have with God. A lot of people wonder about the really existence of God. One of the things that I tell them is, look at how God changes lives. Do you know of any other force as great as this one, where someone will be willing to lay their life on the line for him? The only thing I see close to it is maybe a family love, where a father will do it for a child, mother for her child, someone else in the family. Or possibly a patriotism, where you'll do it for your country. But it's nothing compared to what a Christian is willing to do. And especially a man like here, Stephen. And we'll talk about it. But I really wonder, is it just talk? Because I find out that it doesn't take us much to not be faithful to the Lord. It doesn't take much for us not to come to church. You know, the slightest excuse. Oh, I'm ready to die for God. If he expects me to be a martyr, I'll be a martyr. But I have a hangnail, so I can't go to church. Doesn't make much sense, does it? But then we also read in that last verse, the most important thing of all, the shine of a forgiving heart. Because he forgave those that killed him. He said, Lord, don't. And he took the example from the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Remember where the cross, Lord said on the cross, forgive them, for they know what they not what they do. He forgave them. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's the hardest thing I have to deal with. I can put up with people making fun of me, attacking me maybe for what I believe. I can even take physical violence if I have to. But for me to have the attitude that I have to forgive those that are doing this to me, that's hard. Because my carnal nature wants to have revenge. My carnal nature wants to say, yeah, Lord, let them have it. I will not ask for revenge, but please, Lord, you do it for me.
Yeah.
Stephen did not even have that attitude. He prayed to God. He said, Lord, lay not this on their hand. He asked God to forgive them. That's not easy. Well, why? Bitterness, unforgiveness are what dull our shine. We're talking about our faces, right? How our faces shine. And you know people that if you look at them, wow, their face makes me happy. But there are some other people who say, what a sourpuss. Do we not say that? Let's be honest. We look at their faces. Why? Because bitterness reflects on your face. And an unforgiving spirit will not let you have the shine of God in your life. It will reflect on your face and how you treat people, how they see you. Let me tell you right now, you could have been, I guarantee you, you've been hurt. Someone has hurt you, said something that is hurtful. Let me tell you, you're not unique.
Yeah.
Every one of us has gone through that. Even the Lord Jesus Christ went through it. If you think you're going to live life without being hurt, you're fooling yourself. Every one of us have had children, and we've seen them hurt themselves. No child that I know of has ever lived without getting hurt. And we accept that. We don't like it. We wish it could be avoided, but we know it's not. We know that in our life we're going to suffer hurts. If we look at it that way about physical hurts, things like that, it's the same thing with emotional hurts, with social hurts. It's just going to happen. If you have that attitude that you know it's, and you're expecting it, it's easier to forgive. But also realize this, that when this hurt comes, you choose how you're going to respond.
Yeah.
Now, they can do all they want to, but it's up to you if you're going to have a sweet spirit or a bitter spirit. Stephen chose to have a sweet spirit. That's what gave him the shine. In other words, if you want to shine among others, learn to forgive. I think this chapter 6 and chapter 7 of the book of Acts are two wonderful chapters. You go through the message that the sermon that Stephen preached here, and there's so much. We could spend days and days just studying that. But this morning, I just wanted to talk about when they looked at Stephen, it was like looking at an angel. Not because he was without sin. He was just as sinful as we are. Really, he could be just like any one of us. But he had some things he was willing to do, things he allowed God to do in his life that made him unusual. Do you want to be unusual for God? You can be. The first step is faith. Trust him. Allow him to save you. Then allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom in your life. Then use the Word of God with authority. Realize it's what guides you.
Amen.
And then once you have that Word of God and it's teaching you the truth, you have convictions about those truths. Believe them. And you're willing to die for them if you have to. Then also keep your eyes set on Christ and eternity, not on things of the earth.
Amen.
And then when you get hurt, forgive. Then you'll have a shining face for God. Father, I thank you for the wonderful illustration we have here of what Stephen was and how he gives us examples that we should live as Christians too. I pray for everyone here this morning. Father, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they will make that decision to receive you even this morning. But I also pray for my sisters and brothers who already know you, that need to have shining lights in their lives and their faces to reflect what you've done in their heart. May that also shine. If there's anything in their life that they need to come before you and ask to get worked out, to forgive, to have a forgiving heart, to have the Holy Spirit freedom in their lives, that they would do so even this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a word of invitation, Brother John.
Page 153,
and if God has touched your heart, if there's something you want to talk about, if you need to get saved, I'd be glad to help you if you just come forward. The invitation song is for you, and the altars are open.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Continuing to work in your hearts, we pray that in a lot of ways that he'll make you understand that every one of us should be a shining light for the Lord, and our face is what we do it. When I was working as a photographer, one of the things they taught us is when someone looks at a photograph, the thing that attracts them first is the brightest object in the photograph, and your goal as a portrait photographer is to make the face the brightest object. Your background should be darker than the face, because that's where the attention should be when you ever look at a picture, the face. My question is, does your face reflect the same shining light that God has? We're seeing one more verse. Let's let the Lord deal in this last verse.
All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Thy love and power, let my blessing fall on Thee. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I appreciate your attention so much. Thank you, Brother John. Let's have our ending song for the day. See you tonight.
Thank you. I had a temporary lapse in memory. Let's sing our chorus.